Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers on the broadcast today. We'll take a look at this upcoming legislative session with Washoe County Commissioner Marsha Birkbigler, a former lobbyist, for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
All systems check. All right, Sam, let's go check out some D&D roof.
Hey, Ken. From up here, you can really tell the difference a quality D&D roof makes.
You're right, Sam. With our experience, knowledge, and staff, nothing compares to a D&D roof.
Hey, look down there. It's our D&D roofing crew.
I'll bank the plane so we can get a closer look. Sam! You watch your company's bottom line, and I'll cover the top of it.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Early in the morning or throughout the night, professional truck drivers are on the job, serving you, safely moving freight that's crucial to our economy. From the oldest industries to our newest innovators, from the exotic to the everyday, trucks are everywhere, moving everything. Never afraid to embrace a future that makes Nevada and our nation stronger. Trucking moves America forward.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Shan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Shan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we are always delighted to welcome back to the program Marsha Birkbigler. She is a Washoe County Commissioner. But before she was a Washoe County Commissioner, she was a lobbyist at the legislature for many, many, many years.
More than I'm going to tell you.
Yeah, she started when she was very young. as we're taping this, the legislature is kicking into gear.
That's right.
What are your thoughts? What are your hopes? What are your concerns about this new legislature?
Lots of new people. Historically, it's been my experience that freshmen elected freshmen, regardless of what body they're serving in, go in with their own agenda, and that I think can delay a lot of things, that can create some problems. So that would be a little concern.
Because
they have their own agenda and they really don't know how the process works.
Aha.
And that's really, you know, they're more focusing on their agenda rather and the commitments that they made to their constituents, which they should be. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. But because they don't understand the process of how it actually works, that becomes sometimes a problem. However, having said that, I'm very thrilled that this is a very strong female legislature, because I largely believe that women are more able to talk, to resolve problems without getting angry. And I think that's historically, as you watch the legislature, you realize that that happens as we move closer to the end. So I'm thrilled about that. I also think this governor has some good ideas that I'm thrilled about. I'm not thrilled about everything.
Okay, for example. Well, let's talk about the ones you like first.
Okay, well, I really like his attitude towards education. He has some real, our former governor was big on education. And I think one of the things I like about what Governor Sisolak is doing is he's taking what the former governor did and he's improving some things by adding things that we need to add. So some of the things he talked about in his State of the State, I really got a big pleasure out of. I also like his attitude towards, we're all citizens of the state of Nevada. It doesn't matter what your skin color is, what your religion is, what your, you know, whether you're male or female. He has a much more relaxed attitude about that, and I like that. I think that brings value and fairness to the state, something that we've not seen before. I also like the fact that this governor came up through local government. So he has a perspective that's vastly different than any governor we've ever had in the state of Nevada. He understands that when the legislature makes a decision on something that they want the local governments to do, they need to look at the broad picture of how much it's going to cost the local governments to do that, or what is the local government going to give up in order to do this new thing that the legislature wants. That's a perspective that we've never had before. And so I really like that. I'll tell you, as you know, I'm a Republican, and I've worked in politics for many, many, many years. I've had more access to this Democrat governor than I've ever had to any governor in at this early in the stage. And I like that. And I think that is because he really understands municipalities and the need that we have to work directly with the legislature rather than just be dictated to by the legislature.
And I think that his ability to communicate not just with other elected officials but with the media is terrific as well.
I
found him over the years, whether he was with the Board of Regents or on the Clark County Commission, that if Nevada newsmakers got a hold of him, if it was possible within his schedule, he would always show up. And I really appreciate that, because it's concerned me a lot in the last couple of election cycles of how many people running for office, including high office, that were not willing to do programs like this. And I don't care if they come on Newsmakers or not. They need to go somewhere. They need to go to a local TV station. They need to go to other programs that are similar to this, because we need to hear in detail what they're thinking.
Well, and we also need we the citizens. And so let me remove myself from the position I hold and just say I'm a citizen of Nevada. I grew up here. I moved to Reno or to Sparks actually in 1959. So I've been here for a long time. I'm a citizen. I want to know what my elected officials think and how they think, which is how I got into this business in the first place, because it fascinated me on what they think and how they think. And that's one of the things I think is really positive when they're not no comment to the media. Whether it's when the newspaper reporter calls them and says, you know, I want to ask a question about such and such, no comment does not give the information to the citizens. I even talk to, because I represent Incline Village, I even talk to the San Francisco newspapers, because a lot of my residents who vote in my district or who don't vote in my district, but they live in my district, also live in San Francisco or live in the Bay Area somewhere. So when it's not uncommon for one of the San Francisco newspapers to pick up the phone and call me, and I always talk to them.
You've given kudos to the governor for what you like. What concerns do you have?
I don't think that collective bargaining for state employees is a good idea. That's not just because I'm a Republican. I'm very pro-union Republican. My father was a Teamster, so my brother was UAW. So I'm very pro-union. I don't have a problem with union, but I think collective bargaining with the money that belongs to taxpayers, and I think it's important that we remember that governments don't have money. Governments don't make money. They're a service provider. They provide a service to people who have money. And so the money that comes into a government doesn't belong to the government. It belongs to the people. And therefore, I don't think collective bargaining is an excellent idea for use of the taxpayer monies. And that concerns me. I'm also very pro, I have a concealed weapons permit. I'm about to get it renewed again.
Which is why I'm always very careful with the questions I ask you.
I'm very pro-gun rights, and I have some concerns. I want to see what it is he's proposing for stronger gun rights. I believe that bump stock should be completely banned. To me, there's no logical reason for a bump stock. You're not going to go, for those who might be listening and don't know, a bump stock would take an AR-15 and make it a true automatic weapon. And you're not going to shoot animals with that. So what are you doing it for? If you're just worried about self-protection, trust me, your AR-15 will take care of self-protection. You don't need to make it automatic like somebody who's a sniper or whatever. I have a concern about that. So I want to see what he's proposing. I think bump stock should be ruled out, but I think, and I think that people who have a serious mental problem or a mental problem should not be allowed to purchase guns. I firmly believe that.
What do you think about the background checks?
We get background checks for all kinds of things. So,
Try to get a new driver's license.
That's exactly right, yeah. I mean, I can carry a concealed weapon. They have my fingerprints. I don't have a problem with that. So I don't want to see the background check get so onerous that innocent citizens like myself can't get a gun. But I do think the background check needs to look and see, have you ever been arrested for a violent crime? Have you ever been arrested for physical abuse? You know, do you have a previous mental problem that has been treated in the past? And if you do, let's talk about how whether or not you're really someone who should have a gun.
Let's talk about the makeup of the legislature itself, where you have a supermajority in one house, you have one short of a supermajority, mm-hmm. which means a Republican could get peeled off in the other house. How does that strike you as a former lobbyist?
Well, it strikes me as if I were a Republican legislator, I'd be very nervous. There are some great Republican legislators down there. I don't know all of them, so I'm not saying there's some that are bad. I'm just saying several that I know, Jill Tolles, Ben Kiekhoffer, those guys, and there's plenty others like them. Those just happen to be the two I mentioned, but they have an attitude of let's work with the team. And the team is everybody who's there to make things better for the state. And so I think those people will be fine. I think those who are there with the intention of changing things back to a more conservative, right-wing conservative, religious right-wing conservative approach are probably not very happy right now. And they're going to have a tough session if they don't learn to kind of be a team builder and work with the team.
So you're somebody that travels around and goes to various Republican groups, certainly in Northern Nevada, but I wouldn't be surprised to find you in ones across the state. You know that there's a great disparity between the way that those folks think and the kind of Republicans you're describing at the legislature.
Yes, I do. I know that there is a great disparity in the Republican Party throughout the entire state of Nevada. So there's that group of people who are very right-wing. I used to tease my husband about he was hanging so far off the right side of the spectrum that he was actually meeting the left side of the spectrum who were hanging off their side in the middle because he was so conservative. So there's that group of people. And then there's that group of people who are really very moderate. And so I think that's really, you're seeing Republicans got themselves into a lot of problems over the years by being too right-wing conservative. And there are some right-wing conservatives out there who are going to listen to this and be very angry with me. But at the same time, I think our job is about doing the right thing for the state and fixing things the right way. And I happen to believe that it may be a concept that you don't like, but you may be able to tweak that concept in such a way that it's beneficial to you. It isn't an all or nothing something. On the other side of the coin, I'm going to tell you, I'm not exactly excited about some of the things the Democrats want to do. So one of the things that happened during the all-Republican session, that was two sessions ago,
right,
wasn't it? The all-Republican session, one of the things that happened was the rules that say that allow a local government to set a certain percentage of money aside that can't be touched by union collective bargaining because, you know, you can already do collective bargaining at the municipality level. So that can't be touched by that was significantly lower than what they did. And so they actually removed it, I think, or set it up to 25% of your budget. That may be a little too high. I don't have a problem if they bring it down, but I don't want to see them bring it back down in below the 10% level. Because what happens to municipalities when we have a downturn is they go broke. Like the city of Reno had such financial problems for a while, and pretty much every city in the state, the county was fortunate in that they had good, really good management and they saw it coming, and so they started doing things really early. But one of the things that helps is to have that cushion of money in what you call a rainy day fund. And the state now has a very full rainy day fund. And that's one of the things I like about this governor is that he doesn't want to take money out of that rainy day fund. He wants to set, in fact, aside some additional money that will go to the rainy day fund every single year. And I think that's an issue that we really need to focus on.
And I think looking at what happened from 2008 onward, is a really good indication of what it truly takes for
Absolutely.
A rainy day fund in a downturn. Let's take a break. More with Marcia Birkbeigler when we come back.
Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot with over 450 of the latest slots and video games. Sully's Sports Bar, the Dining Car Restaurant, William Hill Sportsbook, and the Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge. We're just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Yeah. How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse is known for signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. Join us Thursdays and Friday nights from 4:30 to 6:30 in the Steakhouse Lounge for live music, gourmet plates, and well-priced wines, just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Washoe County Commissioner Marsha Birkbigler. So at this legislative session, do you think anybody is going to touch property taxes?
Governor has made it very clear that he doesn't think they need to be increased, that taxes really don't need to be increased. And that's good, but, you know, we have a good budget right now. We've done a lot of growth. We have a lot of business that's still moving to Nevada. And so even though I think nationally the economy is sort of settling down a little bit, I'm hearing that that's not going to change the growth in certainly not in Washoe County, but the growth in the state of Nevada. And I think he's going to continue to have a higher than expected amount of money coming in. I would like to see.
Well, I guess when I'm talking property taxes, the portion that I'm looking at is the one that goes to local governments, mm-hmm. Because it seems like, you know, you look at the city of Las Vegas, you look at the city of Reno, and even the counties, that they could utilize some more funds.
Well, I think that's what I just started to say. I would like to see. See the way we do depreciation on housing changed. I would like to see it so that the depreciation doesn't stay with the house. So I'll just give you one example why that's an amount of money that the local governments lose because of depreciation. But let me just give you one example. So I've lived in my house for 42 years. The house was built in 63. It is fully depreciated. Now if I sell my house to someone moving in from California or anywhere else to take a job with one of the growing companies here, they benefit from my depreciation and the 42 years that I've paid taxes and paid on this house. They benefit from that. I, however, now have to go buy a new place. I don't benefit from that. I have to pay the higher tax because I'm buying a new house. And that's just wrong to citizens who live in the state of Nevada. It's just wrong. And I know there are some people out there who have a perception that if we allow this change to be made, that municipalities, counties in particular, will drive taxes up. They won't, because that doesn't benefit the county to drive the tax up. But it does benefit the citizen of Nevada. The senior citizen who lives here is not going to see their taxes raised with this change, because the new taxation wouldn't change until the house is sold. And so we're the last state in the nation that uses this very archaic form of depreciation on real estate, and it just needs to be changed. So that actually would add money coming in to the county's budgets by when the house is sold, then the taxes go back to the appreciation.
So is there somebody willing to carry that at the legislature?
It is being carried, I believe. I'm sorry, I'm not remembering the name of the legislator who's carrying it, but it is being carried, and yes, it is something that, you know, I think we're going to try very hard to see it happen.
And with Governor Sisolak's background on the Clark County Commission,
he understands it.
Yeah.
And he appears to be supportive.
We shall see.
Yes, we will.
Let's talk about housing. Is that the number one issue that people bring up with you?
Probably pretty much that and water. Either we don't want any more growth because we don't have enough water, or we don't want any more growth because we have too much water, depending on where you live in our county. Certainly the people who live out in the closed basins in the North Lemon Valley, Stead, Cold Springs, those areas, they all have lakes they're the low point, and so that's where the water all goes. And so we need to address those problems for them. So I think that's an issue that comes up. Conversely, the people who live in the south part of Washoe County are constantly talking about the fact that we're running out of water and that more growth down there. We don't have to put a house on every square foot of the community. And so, yeah, housing is a major issue. Probably workforce housing is the biggest issue that we have. And so, as you know, the county and the cities, in fact, there was a meeting this morning with the CHAB, and I unfortunately missed it because of snow and some other problems, but the CHAB committee was meeting this morning to talk about when we're going to be able to move the women and children and families to the NAMHS campus, the new mental health campus that we're working at, which will take care of some of the homeless. That also will free up some money from downtown so that we can use it for other things. But the whole issue of workforce housing, where it's going to go, because, you know, putting workforce housing out in Warm Springs, for instance, there's no bus service out to Warm Springs. So workforce housing in Warm Springs is of little or no use. We need to put workforce housing in an area where there's transportation access for people who want to get somewhere.
All right, let's take a break and we'll come back and we'll pick up on this right after this timeout.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. At Design Outdoor, we specialize in all hardscapes, pavers, and walls you'll need for everything, from wonderful small yards to full-blown outdoor living. And we only refer the best contractors to make your vision a reality. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
I'm men's rights attorney Marilyn York, and because I represent men in all family law matters, women often call me gender traitor, woman hater, and even disgusting. So why represent men and target myself with these offensive monikers? It's simple. Children with fathers in their lives are 6 times less likely to drop out of school, 15 times less likely to go to prison, and 5 times less likely to commit suicide. So ladies, you can hate me, but please love your children more than you hate their fathers.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. And a lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective, Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take an Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
Back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with the Washoe County Commissioner, Marsha Birkbigler. You were talking about workforce housing development. When you look at what Tesla and the other big companies out at the Tahoe Reno Industrial Center are doing, they're putting together their own plans for transportation.
So they say.
Well, I mean, from going out there, what appears is that they have rideshare programs. Mm-hmm.
They do a lot of that.
Yeah,
yes.
they have their own.
And those are really working. Yeah.
Yeah, and so do you think that that's part of the development for the future, or do you think that this is something that the Regional Transportation Commission really needs to get a handle on? Because do they have the money to be able to do that?
I think both. I think it is the future. I think rideshare is the future. But one of the things that's, of course, a problem with the Tri-Center is that narrow stretch of Interstate 80. And it doesn't matter if you're ride-sharing and you've got three people in your car. Okay, so it cuts down two cars. But, I mean, have you been out there lately? Mm-hmm. You know how bad it is. And so one of the things that needs to be done is either that needs to be widened to additional lanes, at least three lanes on each side, probably four lanes on each side, or we need to put in a light rail of some kind. And
do we have a right-of-way for that?
No, we don't. And so that's an issue that would have to be addressed, of
course.
Those
are both huge ticket items.
Huge ticket items. But there are, that's the whole issue of transportation, is not just van transportation back and forth, but it's you know, you've got a van, this van's got to travel on a road. And so not everybody who's on Interstate 80, of course, is going to the Tri-Center. A big chunk of them are going on to Fernley, Fallon.
And
you
the know, East Coast.
And the East Coast. It's an interstate highway. So that's going to be an issue that is going to have to continue to get the attention. So, yes, I think the developers, the developments out in the Tri-Center should continue to do the rideshare program. But I think at the same time, RTC needs to step forward and work with NDOT and work with our national legislators and our congressional delegation and get something done. And I happen to know that they are looking at that. So I feel comfortable that they're moving in the right direction. But as you say, those are big ticket items.
And that's where we got to leave it. Always a pleasure to have you here. Come back
Thank
soon.
You. Nice to be here.
Well, we'll be right back.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance. Custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada. And we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
On our next broadcast, it's an all-pundit show with Dan Mason, Sean Carey, and James Smack. We'll see you then.